dat ik werk bij de Lindhof 8 jaar, een paar maanden nu.
Bij Lindhof nu 8 jaar?
8 jaar.
Is het zo lang al?
Ja. 8 jaar.
Jongen, ik zou dachten 3 jaar of zo, 4 jaar. Hier aan tafel met Hans van Weeberg en Roderick Ros en onze gast van vandaag, Edcaras Reminas. Ik kom uit Litouwen, ik ben inmiddels 8 jaar in Nederland.
10 jaar in Nederland, ja, bijna.
Plus 2, ik was niet uitgesproken.
Ja.
10 jaar. Ik ken jou ook al een tijdje en ik was bijzonder onder de indruk wat jij in 2019, 18, maar vooral in 19, wat je deed met Mine Foodbearing. Het is waanzinnig, omdat je natuurlijk bij een chef werkt met een hele ingewikkelde ingrediënten, aroma's, lastig. Ik heb daarvoor ook allerlei goede sommeliers gezien die het ook goed deden, moet ik zeggen, ook verrassend. En ik vond altijd heel knap wat daar gepresteerd werd, dat je met die keuken daar toch nog zo'n resultaat kon bereiken. Had ik niet echt verwacht. Maar ja, spannende kroon op een middag dat ik zoveel flessen champagne om me heen heb zien verkopen.
Ja?
Die middag. Het leek wel alsof het sponsorwerk was, dat iedereen voor niks champagne kreeg om wat te laten zien hoe goed jullie met champagne waren. Maar dat is natuurlijk niet het geval. Heel serieus. Heb je waanzinnig kunstwerk neergezet als het gaat om wijn passend bij de gerechten? Dat is zeer veel onder de indruk. Dat zal niet iedereen zo makkelijk af kunnen gaan als bij jou. En dat deed je eigenlijk op een hele spelende wijze. Maar ook desnoods een tweede glas, wat je niet had kunnen voorbereiden, pakte je ook weer. En het was raak, raak, raak. Dat heeft een heel grote indruk gemaakt op ons. We hebben ook toen dat jaar jou tot foodbearing specialist van Bomio.
Hij schonk niet alleen champagne, Jan.
Sorry?
Hij schonk niet alleen champagne.
Nee, gelukkig niet. Dat vond ik erin. Hij kwam het gelukkig met nazi champagne. Begon hij met allerlei wijnen te strooien. En het was heel blij te zien toen je die prijs uitgereikt kreeg, dat ik daar in plaats van een kille jongen, of van de buitenkant, dat ik daar een jongeman zag staan met emoties. En die ook voldoening had. Jij stond daar en dat deed je wat. En dat was een soort erkenning. Hè? Dat was het ook een erkenning wat je deed. Ook half Litouwen had geloof ik een nationale feestdag een dag later. Vanwege dat succes. Oké, dat is het startpunt eigenlijk waarom we dit met jouw programma met jou doen.
Hey, maar even terug naar de spijs. Wat voor de spicy keuken heb je hele andere wijnen nodig, toch? Dan een gemiddelde sommelier. Of zeg ik iets raars?
No, you don't say nothing raars whatsoever. First of all, I want to say thank you, Mr. Van Lissom and the corporation for inviting me here. I'm really excited, slightly nervous, I'm not going to lie. You introduced me so nicely, so I also remember that day when you came to the Lindhof as well, really well. It was Monday, it was busy lunch, it was actually full house. And yes, we do sell champagne like crazy. We sell loads and loads of champagnes. I knew that you arriving because I saw your name, but I was slightly nervous. And I thought, and I'll be honest, because I have nothing to hide. I remember when you came in there, I thought to myself, okay, finally, Mr. Jan van Lissom is here. Let's see what we're going to do. Let's fuck him up. Let's surprise him. Because like, great, this is busy, I can show. It was a really good atmosphere because it was busy. And luckily, there was lots of faster gasten at the table. Yeah. So I could really make them laugh and this and that. And you set the table for, you were like strong. Basically, it was really exciting. And
was he alone or was he with someone?
He was alone that day.
Yeah. Always alone.
He was alone that day. My chef was not there that day. He only came to say goodbye. Because, of course, if Mr. Jan van Lissom is there,
you have to say
you
goodbye.
You have to say that, of course. Because to look busy, you know what I mean? Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is that I knew of Mr. Jan van Lissom even before I knew what you looked like. I remember you as the person that every time I would meet you or do like a tasting with you, you would be one of those people who would come to me 10 times and I was like, so what's your name? What werk jij? You would look at the passion and I was like, this motherfucker will never learn who I am. How difficult is it to remember me? Ben Buitenlander. But so I always knew that there was always certain things that all the sommeliers do. Never pour him a made in Provence, that bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
not even nice with the ice block is. And I knew that you're a big fan of sherry.
Yeah.
And I thought I'm going to... What was this? I thought I'm gonna really surprise you with wine and spice because I made my homework 2 days in advance, was gonna be precisely, because sometimes in Horeca shit happens. And I had my best suit on as well, not gonna lie. I was ready for you, this and that. And because I was a bit in a rush, I opened one of sherry bottles. I was a bit in a rush, I opened my finger. And it was on the glass. So when I poured it, and I was like, and I saw that, I was like, okay, what do I do now? Do I clean it? Do I say sorry? Because for me, that was like, that's it, you're out of the competition. So when I saw that, I cleaned that, and I thought to myself, well, Eddie, maybe you just focus on the guests instead of kissing ass with Mr. Van Lissom. If you're meant to be, it will be. And I think as soon as I stopped really caring about you and focusing on the guests, and just because then I think you saw the sphere and how it's going on, I think it went really well. So I remember that day really well. I actually remember that really day well, as well as the 2019 October. You made me feel like a king that night. Seriously. I still have that video. I still have that video where you say in Dutch, like, yeah, so you're like, feel like king dingling in your restaurant. Let's see how you're going to do that in Dutch.
Yeah.
And you gave me the microphone. I was like, fuck, I need to say something. Jesus, okay, okay. And then your microphone, I remember that video so well. I still have it. Huh? And then the microphone goes down. And I'm like, no, bring it up. I was like, and I said something on Lies, Linda Boys, we did it. Black Father, thank you. I was like, ah. And then I'm like, we the best, fuck the rest. And I walked away. And even the theme song that you put on as well, I was like, as I speak now, I get Kipperfeld. I'm sure most of the people that are going to listen to this now, they'll be like, yeah, oh, you're back. But I have nothing to lose. Honestly, you made me feel special. Dank u wel for that.
Heel graag gedaan. Even dient het. Dus de discussie is hierbij afgesloten. Absoluut.
Ja.
Hans, wat heb je geschonken?
Ik heb geschonken een mousserende wijn. Uit de Lange.
Oké.
Gemaakt door de mannen van La Spinetta.
Oké.
Wat vinden we ervan?
I find it's really fresh, elegant. Yeah. It's not too mousserende, not too sharp with the bubbles. Really soft and elegant on your palate. It's not too harsh in the aftertaste. It's rather really well balanced.
It's really well, yeah.
And I'm really surprised. I really like La Spinetta. When I went to 2019 to Piemont and stuff like that, yeah. This is one of the wine houses that I really enjoyed it.
Dit soort type smaken, hè? Hoe gaat dat met die keuken? Van de Lindhof. Ik zeg je nou, dan komt dit, deze wijn komt dit tekort, of zeg je dan, ik moet mijn gerecht aanpassen. Is dit lastige wijn om te kunnen matchen?
I think this this bubble should work in principle really well with the spicy kitchen.
Yeah.
Because it's a really well balanced between this minerality, a little bit acidity, yet it's not too sharp. So that's really going to complement certain spices with the dishes. So I think, first of all, I should say, when you think about the wine pairing at the Lindhof, you really need to think outside the box. So whatever works for classical, slightly boring restaurants, in the Lindhof, you have to think really outside the box. And there are certain rules when it comes to doing wine pairing.
What are the rules?
So for example, if you have six courses,
yeah,
the countries should not repeat themselves.
Okay.
Because A, you're slightly, how can I be correctly? The world has so many wine houses, so many vineyards, so many grape varieties, so many styles, terroirs, temperatures like crazy. So yeah. Why be a bit boring and safe and just
do three Italian, two French, and one German.
Precisely,
wine.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, you come to the Lindhof, like it's quite Bautelands in the middle of nowhere, yeah. Lünen, and spicy kitchen, which is something that's outside the box. As soon as you sit down, we want to take you all over the world.
Yeah.
So you're already a Michelin restaurant, you're already having this Surinamese Hindustan's influence in the food, so you're already at the side of the world. So the wines should also be outside the world. You should not do two Germans, then this and that. It's slightly boring because sometimes when I see other sommeliers working with the wine and spice, you can tell who is friends with whom and who they try to sell the wines for and this and that. It's a bit boring. So if you start with the Riesling and then you go for Italian, then French and French and then dessert wine is Riesling,
yeah.
It gets...
Welke wijnen kunnen heel goed bij die keuken en welke wijnen kunnen zeker niet goed bij die keuken? Kun je dat aan de mensen uitleggen? Een klein beetje, want het is een hele speciale keuken. Dit soort restaurants, niet alleen Lindhof, nog meer mensen die op deze wijze. En wat is jouw advies dan, nieuwe generatie? Gaan we dit soort wijnen beginnen en blijf daarvan af? Welke type wijnen zijn daar wel geschikt voor, waarmee je een match kunt maken? En welke wijnen kunnen absoluut niet? Forget it. Is dat nog een verschil tussen wit en rood? Kun je daar antwoord op geven?
How is Jura working with your kitchen?
Myself, I'm not the biggest fan of the Jura, so I don't really select that.
Okay.
I'll be honest.
Yeah.
But yet, I'm saying that, I can say that the wines that are more oxidative, creamier, richer, robust, or like almost like kapot,
yeah,
those work really, really well. That's a big compliment.
Yeah.
To do a Riesling or Gruner Veltino with the starter, that's very easy. Anybody can do this. Let's put it like that, because you just read the book. Wines that are too heavy and too oak, well, bloody hell, this is a really difficult question.
Does Bernardus work with the kitchen? We talk about oaky wines.
Yeah. You know, everybody has a different palate and different taste. So what I say works 100%, somebody says like it works completely not.
Do you think it works with the kitchen?
The Bernardus wine.
Or Hamilton Russell old style wines, Chardonnay.
I think the wines that has a bit more this acidity and refreshness and refined, which works much better with the spicy kitchen than a vanilla milkshake in your glass.
Yeah.
Because the one thing that I know, a heavy oaked white wine, if the dish is in Noonan, it does not work.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, it's important.
Yeah.
It's so important also.
Proper oaked Chardonnay wines don't work in the kitchen like that.
No. And is that the same with, let's say, heavy tannin red wines?
Depends on the dish, because for example, you know, you can eat your fish with red wine, yep, and you can eat your meat with red wine. The signature dish is rendang in the stoofvlees, ijs gemaakt van gemberbeer,
yeah,
met zijn citrus, saus gemaakt van witte soja. So you can think three things and you do that. So stoofvlees, red wine, great, that's easy because stoofvlees and red wine. But if you chill it off and you find a wine that's a bit more exciting, like Monsanto, Grenache, that's grown in a bit like metallic soil, that does wonders. Of course, you can go for something more exciting and crazy and yeah, pack like it, take something older like Riesling from 1980s to Beeren Auslese. That works really fun. Sweet wines with the stoofvlees. With my wine pairing, six courses, I try to do two whites, two reds, and then do some sort of sweet, okay, sweet things.
Yeah.
So the main course is definitely going to be meat. So there's going to be red wine. So before that, I try to introduce something a bit lighter. So the wines also do this opbouwen.
Begrijpen jouw gasten jouw keuzes? Ze komen voor de Lidhof, die speciale keuken. En hebben de mensen dan gelijk van, prachtig wat je nu schenkt. Ze vertrouwen je, dat heb ik al gezien. Je hebt enorm vertrouwen bij die mensen allemaal. En de mensen vinden dat ook allemaal lekker? Of hebben ze soms dat ze even af willen wijken?
Again, depends on the person. It took ages time to convince people that...
Wat is je doel?
Sorry.
Begrijpen mensen jouw wijnkeuzes?
They understand the choice of your wines, yeah.
They understand your decision to take which wine.
They have a full trust in me because I'm there presenting the bottle and pouring the wine and giving information.
Yeah.
So they have trust that, because if you enter somebody's house and somebody's telling you this is my dish and this is the wine I'm going to pour for you, they appreciate and they sit down. If they don't like something, they will mention something. If not to me, then you mention to my chef. But it always depends on certain people. Because some people are very, and we have like different kind of characters consistently.
And your opinion about the New World wines, and to compare with the gastronomy from Lindhof, New World, the wines of the New World, Chile, South Africa, Australia, etc.
I try to look for the wines that are a bit unknown, because usually they're a bit cheaper. I try to look for the wines that could be upcoming or something exciting. I try to think outside the box, because it's very easy to pack Chateau of Domaine, this and that, Grand Cru, Lekker, nice. But I try to look for something else. I'm very happy with the fact that I've been pouring wine from Azerbaijan, Savalan.
Yeah.
I find those wines one of the best price quality, because they have so many different grapes grown there, and that works really nice with the dishes by the Lindhof. And we work with Savalan wines a lot. Another one of the things that I always try to do in my wine pairings is select wines from Tuzuko. This guy knows a lot about the wines, and he's the one that always introduces me into something South African. So when I used to do the wine pairing, I would always make sure that there's going to be a South African wine in the menu, and it's always wines from him, because I learned a lot from him, because sometimes I phone up like, listen, because another thing when it comes to the menus at the Lindhof, let's say some restaurants, they will introduce new dish every week or two dishes every week. At the Lindhof, you get all six courses on one day, And that most likely is going to happen on Thursday, because that's the first day of the week. And then you have 2 days to order the wines to be ready for Saturday. That's difficult, because you need to order wines before 2 o'clock on Thursday for next wines to come the next day. And then sometimes they don't come, so they hope they're going to come on Friday, because the dishes come on Thursday, new dishes. You need to have the wines for Saturday. So you have to think within half an hour.
You cannot take too much time to...
It's not time, because for example, the way I work, I start at 9:30 in the morning and I'm done at 2 o'clock at night every day. And then your break is like 15 minutes if you're lucky. So you have this choice between smoke a cigarette or eat your food. So you really have... While you work, you're already thinking about the dishes. So sometimes what I do, those people that sell wine and I believe I can trust, I make a photo and I'm like, okay, I'm looking for wines from this and this country. It's a second course. Give me 3 suggestions for the price and quickly record me a message to see and tell me why do you think this is right. And then from there, I go and make a decision what wines I want. Because sometimes you get 6 courses, you have literally half a day to decide for what wine is going to be for the menu within the next 2 days, and fingers crossed it's all going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Mistakes do happen, but you recover from those mistakes, and what doesn't kill you
and
makes you stronger.
Yeah.
Precisely. Some people are very nice to take the wines back, some people are not too happy about it, but it is how it is.
Wat zijn jouw persoonlijke favorieten? Wit en rood, een paar wijnen, noemen ze het op, waarvan je zegt, daar hou ik van.
That's a very difficult question. It's like saying, would you love your mom or your father? Of course, everybody knows this and that. So that's a bit difficult. I can tell you à la minute what I don't like.
Yeah.
So that's always easier. So for example, when it comes to smelling wine, you try to focus, I smell this and that. I always smell things that I really don't like. And then I can judge from that. So I'm a bit spoiled and I like those classical tastes at home. So Chardonnay, Burgundy, but I prefer wines that have 1 grape in the bottle.
Grape.
That for me is more focused.
No blend, but
precisely.
It's
kind of easier to remember, because then let's say if you do the Bordeaux, you need to remember it was a good year or bad year. What's the percentage of Merlot and this grape variety in that? And that kind of gets you a little always distracted. But when you have
the difference from the year to the year, the percentage.
Precisely. So I'd rather have, I like, as I call it, pure wines, clean wines. Many people pretend not to use like this and that.
No.
Like Venature, do you use those as well? Orange wines and things like that?
I enjoy it, but then you have to think about the guests. Are they going to like it? We are positioned in Brabant, in Nuenen, so we have different kind of people who come there.
Mm.
I have tried to introduce, with the 6 courses, to introduce like a little bit oxidized wines and a bit more funkier, like hippies from 1969, that kind of aroma smelly. And the guests, and if people are going to complain, they're going to complain about that wine that's a bit out of the taste.
Yeah.
And that's that hurts.
Out of the preferred set of tasting.
Precisely.
Yeah.
I remember there was this wine that you can buy from the Lange Wijnkoperij, Terroir Limite.
Yeah.
I don't remember precisely what it was, but like you would decant it for the show, so you can see that it's an orange color before it gets into the glass. And as soon as the people pick up the glass, oh no, ik vind het niet lekker. Sorry, hoor. Mag ik iets anders? But like, did you wait for the dish? Like, no, I don't like this.
So
that's a bit tough to introduce these kind of wines, because you have to look at what the people want, because they're going to be paying experience.
But what kind of herb or spice do you find the most difficult to pair with?
For me at the beginning was tiger blood was quite difficult, because I never tasted it and was too fatty and I was like, this is a bit confusing. I don't know if I like it itself. Top of my mind, it's a bit blank right now.
Okay. And how much suppliers do you have as a sommelier? Do you believe in one supplier or do you believe in 2 or 3 basic suppliers and some other ones to make it...
We have approximately 30 different wine suppliers.
30.
When it comes to wine, another little thing, when it comes to wine pairing, you don't buy the wines from the same guy. You look for different guys. Because if you buy all 6 wines from the same...
Of course.
It just shows that you're matches. You're going to get a free trip there. Most likely you're going to get something in your rucksack after work and stuff like that. We don't believe in that. And you need to do your homework. You want to be the best... Then fuck yourself and make sure you work for it.
Yeah.
So that's what's always a challenge. So when it comes to wine pairing, when it comes to, because you know, sometimes you, let's say you want to do your wine list, he has a Dagenau Silex. That's very difficult to get. So when, so then you have to think in your head, like, okay, I need to do business with this guy because then I get 6 bottles instead of 3 bottles. Because all the sommeliers, they talk. So then, okay, Yes, when it comes to pairings, there are certain wine people that you I would personally do always business, because I believe there's trust, there is help, and there's no backstabbing or backtalking.
You can trust them.
You can trust them.
Yeah.
There will be four wine people that I will do business with for the wine pairing all the time.
Yeah. And if you're looking to wine pricing, what do you have for your wine pairing, always the same amount?
Well, one thing in Nuenen, when it comes to wine pairing, there is much more money to select wines, because the kitchen, my chef knows that the kitchen is difficult and you need to find the correct wine. So in our wine pairing, you will never find a bottle that's less than 10 euros.
Yeah.
Maybe there's going to be one aventure once or twice per year, but there's nothing going to be less than 10 euros.
It's moeilijker, gewoon.
Veel moeilijker. There's more money in the wine pairing. So I know that my wine pairing is quite strong, because I kind of started from nothing. So I never read a book about what's a classical dish, what's a classical wine. I just had to do it from scratch, from Google.
En je krijgt redelijk de vrije hand om die dingen te doen.
Ja, that's true.
En in wijnpairing is de kosten voor de gast per glas is gelijk. Dat is 12 euro per glas of whatever. Het varieert niet. Jij...
Depends on the guest.
Ja. Yeah. Of course.
If you smell that, then
you can pour different wines.
By the Lindenhof, alles kan, niks moet. So if you want to drink a glass of Tinello, no problem. We'll open for you the Corovin. We do the calculations, 30 cents for the gas, petroleum, and klaar.
Yeah.
But when it comes to wine pairing, let's say the starter costs 10 euros. The main course on the wine costs 18 euros a bottle. If you want that glass, it's going to be the same price.
Yeah.
And that way, we are netjes.
Het klaar is.
So...
Denk jij dat jij bij de Lindenhof meer tijd kwijt bent om uit te leggen aan de gast waarom die wijn geschonken wordt dan als je in een ander klassiek restaurant zou werken? Heb je met deze stijl van de keuken meer tijd nodig om mensen te overtuigen of uit te leggen waarom dat jouw keuze is? Want die mensen die gaan ook niet elke dag in dit soort keukens eten. Dus, dus het is nieuw voor hen, of het is verrassend voor hen. Dus die zullen misschien eerder zeggen, waarom moet dit, of waarom moet dat, of valt dat mee?
Sometimes when the guests come there, you have to read the guest. You have to read that they're classical, that they're excited, that they're completely newbies. So you have to feel the guest. Thank you. And because I never worked in another Michelin restaurant proper, it's really, I cannot really answer this question. Because I was literally homegrown from scratch there, so everything I learned was regarding spicy kitchen. Sometimes I think if I ever quit or get fired or I'm gone missing, let's say, and I have to work in a very classical restaurant, I'd be slightly afraid, because then you really have to do the classical kitchen, the classical wine, and then as a sommelier, so seeing a good sommelier, you really need to know that. And sometimes I feel that would be a challenge. For me, it would be more of a challenge to do the classical wine pairing than out of the box stuff.
Hey. Wat heb jij in die 10 jaar in Lindenhof, want je bent misschien lang in Nederland, wat heb je geleerd over de Nederlanders aan tafel? Kun jij zeggen wat je van de
Nederlanders, leuk
aan tafel komt?
Of België?
God allemachtig, wat een leuk volk. Of zeggen we, jongen.
En nou, we hebben gewoon simpel beginnen. Nederlanders of Belgen?
That's much easier, so that I don't insult nobody. Yeah.
Oké.
Okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, when it comes to the Dutch people, there's a big difference between North and the South of the Dutch people.
Yeah. Carnival, no carnival.
Precisely. Yeah. Above and below the rivers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's big difference in style, the wine that they drink, and in style how they talk or dress or how interested. It's big difference. There's a difference between the Belgians and the Dutch. For example, a Dutch person, no insult here, a Dutch person will ask for kraanwater.
Yeah.
Aperitif will be rode port, prosecco, cava, of Sauvignon Blanc or Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Belgian altijd champagne, brouwend water. They are instantly going to start with the wine card, gin and tonic, no problem. They want that. A Belgian person enjoys the story, the entertainment. And for them, because they are more classical than the Dutch people, when some crazy fucked up guy like sommelier comes to the table, they're like, what the hell is happening? They enjoy that more. A Dutch person will be like more conservative, like, alsjeblieft, doe het normaal. Het is twee ster. Waar is jouw chef? You know, like that. So the Belgian people are more... open, very good. They already decanted.
Yeah.
I guess another thing that I can remember, Dutch people tip better than Belgians.
Mm.
Because sometimes you just think to yourself, like, wow, you laughed so hard, you loved it, we're now friends on Instagram, nice, 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 and they leave without any foil. And a Dutch person who's like a bit zacharijnig or like stuck up, let's say, it looks like Jan Jansen with the hair like that, and they leave like 50 quid, you're like, wow, that is, what the fuck, how is this happening? I thought I can read you. So there's a big difference between Dutch and Belgian guests, yes. A Dutch person will go for wine pairing more often than a Belgian person. Belgian person will take wine cards.
En wat was de beste wijn-spijs-combinatie die je voor je gevoel ooit hebt gemaakt?
For me, that's 2019, maybe 2020, because there was still no corona. That was tarbot, gewassen met de vadovas-pesterijen, kousenwijn, kousenband.
Band,
Zuidzuur redijs. De saus is gemaakt van appel en curry. En de wijn-spijs was van paarden.
Kraanwater.
Sparkling.
Beetje vodka erbij, wat is skin a bitch, yay. The wine was, which I found really interesting, was Chenin Blanc, 2018, from South Africa, Elgin, by Mosey Wines.
Mosey Wines.
Mosey Wines Chenin Blanc. Because I really enjoyed that wine, and when Pardon gave me the bottle, he didn't show me the bottle, he was like, try it. He did decanter, we tried it. I was like, oh, this is delicious.
Yeah.
And my first impression was, this is Chablis or Chardonnay. But because, and it's like, yeah, I get what you mean by that, because it's Elgin, it's a bit colder, this and that. So I started pouring that wine, because that wine was really well, actually was 16 euros for the second course wine, 16 euros for a bottle of wine and wine pairing, that's a bit gek. I really enjoyed it, because it was, it had, the wine itself was great quality, has loads of points, no, that's really important in wine, to be honest, but it had a great story already. It was a black guy from Zimbabwe. Who went to South Africa, became one of the best, starts making his own wines. So for me, the story already sold. And because I really enjoyed this wine, when there comes like big maîtres or sommeliers, they obviously want to play around this and that. Sometimes they ask for, they take a wine card, but they will ask for like, surprise me for one of the dishes, or always pour Chenin Blanc, because it would be really interesting to see the eyes and the palate change in front of your eyes when they taste and they think it's Chardonnay, Burgundy, Premier Cru, and you tell them, no, it's South African Chenin Blanc.
Chenin Blanc, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Motherfucker, yeah, that's brilliant. That's one of the recent ones and the best ones.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm a big fan of South African wines, so I can really talk a lot about South African wines. But that comes from...
Ik denk afronden. We hebben in ieder geval een hele duidelijke inzicht gekregen op de manier waarop jij werkt. Jouw keuzes en het waarom gehoord. Dank je voor je komst in Amsterdam.
Ja, super fijn.
En ik hoop een hele mooie toekomst voor je.
Ja. I'm the best now, you are the one.